Let's open to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, the fourth verse. For some weeks we've been talking about the Holy Spirit, why He is God. And number two, Jesus told us that He is our helper, our guide into all truth. He is another comforter. I don't know about you, but if there's a helper available to me, I want to know how that works. I want to be close to the helper. I want the helper close to me. I want the help. Anybody else want the help? We sometimes talk about those who are sort of students of the Bible, ages or dispensations, time periods where things kind of change, just like we talk about baby boomers, Gen X, Gen Z, all of that, you know. But since the resurrection of Jesus to the present day until the return of Jesus, this would be one of the dispensations, one of the ages. It's the age of the Holy Ghost, the age of the church. So the church age and the time of the Holy Spirit in the church are one and the same thing. So it's important to our time, to our walk with God, to our understanding of what it is to be the church. So He's our helper. So we ought to study what the Bible has to say about the Holy Spirit. We have been for some weeks here. I know recently we talked about metaphors of the Spirit. We talked about fruit of the Spirit. And then we kind of laid the ground last week for gifts of the Spirit. And I know that church I grew up in, when I began to discover things in the Word, was exposed to a little bit of teaching, I noticed that I saw some things that they kind of didn't see. And if I ever brought it up, well, we don't believe all that Holy Spirit stuff. Which now looking back, like, what? They don't realize what they're saying. What do you mean you don't believe in the Holy Spirit stuff? They sang the song, God in Three Persons, you know. They knew of a Holy Spirit, but... And I will say this, too. A lot of people are benefiting from the ministry of the Spirit, and they don't even know it's Him. They have certain things shown to them, maybe a thought and so on, and they don't even know that it was the Spirit of God that planted that thought and showed them the way. So even though they weren't acknowledging Him as perhaps I would, you know, I might say something like, the Holy Spirit showed me this, or the Holy Spirit told me this. They wouldn't know. It would just be an idea came, you know, and they thought, that's a pretty good idea. And it worked out good and all that. And that would be the ministry of the Spirit, even though they didn't even know it was the Holy Spirit. But there are to this day many Christians and believers, all that Holy Spirit stuff. Well, folks, that's your help. That's our help. That's our time. So every once in a while, as we are, we should go through these things and make sure those of us have been around a while, we shore up the foundation, and for others, this is brand new information. And so because it'll be brand new for some, I've been going slow and making sure just to cover it a little at a time and make sure that everybody sees it's in the Bible. For instance, showed from Genesis chapter 1, the presence of the Spirit of God there, cover to cover, all well-founded in the Bible. This is not just a type of church. It's not a cult. It's not a... you know, a type of service. This is someone that we're talking about. This is God that we're talking about. So this week we are going to move a little further into gifts of the Spirit. So we're going to start with a verse we looked at last week and just touch that and then move forward. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 4, it says there are diversities of gifts. Let's back up. Verse 1. Go back to verse 1. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant. So on the subject, we should not be ignorant. Ignorant means you don't know. And I guess I'll say it again just so that everybody's really sure about it. That word gifts there in a King James Bible, it'll be italicized. Good morning. God bless you, Sandy. It'll be italicized, meaning it was not there in the original Greek. By the way, she's still advancing and coming along. And she's remembering more and more all the time, you know, just a little at a time, but she's doing better and better all the time. Like I said earlier, sometimes it takes a while, the blessing of God, but walk by faith. This word gifts is not in the original Greek language. If you would read it literally, it would be now concerning spiritual. Brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant. We might make it plural because several things are listed. So concerning spirituals, or we might say spiritual things, don't want you to be ignorant. We should know about them. So then if we go to verse 4 here now, there are diversity of gifts, and in this case, there is a word there in the original Greek language. So there is a category here of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of activities, but it is the same God who works all in all. So notice there are three categories. There are also attributed to different members of the Godhead. Spirit, Lord, God, or Spirit, Son, Father. You have the category of gifts, a category of ministries, and a category of activities. Last week, I gave the definitions for each of those words. I'll not repeat that. You could refer to the message from last week for that. Verse 7, but the manifestation, so in other words, the revealing, the showing, the materializing, the what you can see on the outside, so to speak, the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. Some of the groundwork we were laying last week was this. These things are to profit us. These things are to profit all, not just the individual, but everybody. And so when you get to this subject, and we're only going to be able to do part of it today, you get to the subject of spiritual gifts. Some people have, an image in their mind of some things happening in a service that are unusual, don't understand, seem a little weird, whatever, you know, that kind of thing. And there are some things that happen that are weird that have more to do with the people doing them than they have to do with the Spirit of God inspiring them. So sometimes people just want to throw that all away. They don't understand it. But you're throwing away what profits us. Can you see that? This is what we want to be sure everybody understands. Everything we're going to talk about, and talk about it in its right understanding, that's why I'm going slow with some of this, is for our profit. Amen. So gifts, ministries, activities. They're all things through the Spirit of God, and they help us. They profit us. So again, three categories. Well, then it goes into, in verse 8, starting to talk about one of the categories. And the category it begins to talk about is what we commonly call gifts of the Spirit. Gifts of the Spirit. In other words, it's something from the Spirit of God. It's supernatural. It's inspired by Him. It's from Him. It's more than what a man or a woman can do or understand on their own. Amen. And so he begins describing these things. Verse 8, for to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another word of knowledge through the same Spirit. How do we know that are gifts of the Spirit? Because they're each being attributed to the Spirit. And remember, diversity is of gifts, but one Spirit, different ministries, but one Lord. These are the gifts of the Spirit because the Spirit is listed here. The ministries are of the Lord. That's for another day. Word of wisdom, word of knowledge through the same Spirit. Verse 9, to another faith by the same Spirit. Now, maybe I'll just say this for now. When you read that faith, well, faith is a pretty common thing, and we're always encouraged to walk by faith, to have faith, and so on. This here would be faith inspired by the Spirit of God. It would be more than what an individual would have simply in response to reading the Bible and knowing the character of God. So you could say supernatural faith. You could say unusual faith. You could say special faith. You could say faith that comes on you more than developed in you. Does that make sense? My friend Dr. Jack Myers, he will from time to time tell me that those first minutes and hours when Pastor Sandy was injured and in the hospital and either passed away and came back or was right there or what exactly, and probably her life was under threat for a good long while, but he said that he believes it was the gift of special faith given me and operating in me that I could continue to believe God in such adverse circumstances. And if me, her also. And I don't know if I've told in church this part just yet, but a couple of weeks ago, maybe 3 weeks ago now, she had said, she got this look on her face and a little bit of like a child does sometimes, a little pout, and almost with a cry in her voice, she said, "I fought very, very hard to stay alive." Have I shared that already in church? No? Well, she had never said that to me before. She said, "I fought very hard." I said, "Did you?" "Very hard. I fought very hard to stay alive." I said, "Did you understand what was happening?" She told me, "Yeah, I knew I could die or was dying. I knew it could be all over with." And so I just didn't want to plant thoughts. I wanted to see what she could tell me more. And I said, "Tell me about that." She said, "Every day I had to fight. Every day I had to fight to stay alive." And I asked her, "How did you do that?" She said, "I kept saying, with long life will he satisfy me and show me his salvation." I said, "Just that?" "Yeah, just that, over and over and over." I said, "Well, how did you say it? Because you were comatose. I was there. We never heard you speak." She said, "In my heart, every day, I said it over and over. I kept fighting with one scripture. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation." This is a little bit of a side journey, but there's valuable lessons in this. We had, her and I, for some few weeks before that, been focusing and concentrating on that from the 91st Psalm, verse 16. And we had been saying it. The Lord had said to me sometime before that, "Every time you think about your health, take your medicine." "Well, what's my medicine?" And he assigned me, "Your medicine is Psalm 91:16. With long life will I satisfy you and show you my salvation." Which, by the way, it's not just long life. It's satisfying long life. And to be shown his salvation, that means you're shown his deliverance. That means you're going to be in a jam, and he's going to bring you out. Amen. All of that's in that verse. So we had been, both of us, I don't know if she picked it up from me or picked it up in the spirit too, but we had been saying that. That had lodged in our hearts and had become something that was part of how we talked. And then the thing happened that happened, and it was in her arsenal. It was in her pocket, ready to use right then at that time. That's why you put the word in your heart. But she said, "I kept saying in my heart." She couldn't speak. She was comatose. And I said, "Well, we were fighting too, you know." And I told her, "I don't know if you heard us, but we were with you and we were fighting." And she said to me, she said, "I heard everything." Amen. Now, she can't remember what she heard, but she knows she heard all the conversation, all the prayer, all the people that were in the room. And she was comatose, real close to 2 months before there was any awareness that we could see and any response that we could see in her. But all of that was to say, if it was a gift of special faith operating in me, it was operating in her too. And by the way, for those that have lost a spouse, lost a parent, whatever, those kinds of things, when they have lost a child, when somebody's in that place where they might pass, there's so many testimonies of them seeing angels waiting on them or meeting the Lord. Sandy testifies that she met the Lord and talked to him. She says she fought to stay alive, and it would have been very easy to not fight and go to something better. When someone gets a glimpse of the Lord, or the angels are waiting on them, or they're in that place where in present body would be suffering and hurt, yet in spirit there's peace and there's great anticipation, can we blame them if they choose to go on? No, we cannot. I would not. And in that moment with Sandy, I said to the Lord, Lord, if it's better for her to go, you know, I'll step aside and let her go. If that's what you tell me I should do. I asked him, what do you say about this, right? So I knew that I didn't want to put her through something just for me. I appreciate that she loved her family, loved me enough to fight to stay alive. And by the way, so yeah, gift of special faith will help you do that in that moment. But that leads to a question, and I know I'm getting a little bit of field here, but there's valuable things in this. When she says, I fought very hard to stay alive, what was she fighting? Who was she fighting? She wasn't fighting the Lord, I don't believe, because she was bringing his word to him. With long life, will you satisfy me? I mean, maybe face to face and show me your salvation. You might say, well, death and the enemy. Yes, yeah, certainly, fighting death and enemy. But I'll tell you what she was fighting the most was herself. It's who volunteers for a long and difficult fight. It'd just be easier to go, wouldn't it? So I would imagine she fought with herself more than anything, deciding and choosing. Would she stay alive, fight it out? Or who would blame her if she would have had knowledge of how devastating her injury was, and she just said, you know what, that looks pretty tough. Lord, why don't I just go home with you? Who could blame her? Who could blame her for that? But she chose. So when you lose somebody, understand they're in that place of choosing and deciding. And I don't blame anyone that might have chose to go on, be with the Lord. I don't blame them at all. We miss them? Oh, yeah. Yeah, we sure do. But they're doing all right. Amen. And in a little while, we'll join them. Praise the Lord. So, gift of special faith. You understand, when this is not regular, everyday, street value faith that you and I operate in. This is the Spirit of God coming upon you. Special faith. To another, gifts, it's plural, gifts of healings by the same Spirit. To another, working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, discerning of spirits. To another, different kinds of tongues. To another, interpretation of tongues. So they're not particularly grouped just the way as to what they are. But if you'll look at these, you can see that there are three of these gifts that say something. There are three of these gifts that do something, like working of miracles. And there are three that reveal something. So 3, 3, 3, 9 of them, 9 gifts of the Spirit. 3 that say something, 3 that do something, and 3 that reveal something. So the first category, 3 that say something, we have tongues, or different kinds of tongues. We have interpretation of tongues and prophecy. I will briefly tell you what each of those is. I think everyone can understand that tongues is speaking by the Spirit of God in words that the mind doesn't know, a language that the mind doesn't know. Elsewhere, Paul says, though I speak with the tongues of men and angels. So there's evidence that we speak at times perhaps in languages that are angelic languages that they would understand and we don't. Amen. So different kinds of tongues. And just like, while I'm here, I guess I'll mention this, just like there's regular faith that we all grow in and operate in, and there's special faith, when we say tongues, there's two different things at work as well. There is the ability to pray in the Spirit, speak in the Spirit in tongues, and there is the Spirit of God coming upon someone in the ministry of gift of tongues. Those are two different things. And so probably most of us have been in a service where it seems like, woo, the presence of God is strong, and someone in the congregation or the up at the front will speak in other tongues, not just generally, but with an anointing and an authority, and just you can tell, oh, God is speaking by His Spirit, and that's the gift of tongues. Later when it says, do all speak in tongues, because Paul is asking the rhetorical questions, can't do all of this in one day. Do all speak in tongues? The obvious answer is no. He means this gift of inspiration in a service, and we'll get to that part too. Remember, it's for the profit of all. We need to think about what's good for all. And Paul will, and I will touch on it a little today, in church meetings where we're gathered is a little different from at home or in the car or wherever we might be by ourselves. But there's tongues, interpretation of tongues, two different kinds of tongues. We are talking about the kind where the anointing comes upon somebody and you can tell it's the Spirit of God speaking for all to hear. Interpretation of tongues. What is interpretation of tongues? Well, when one speaks out in other tongues, nobody knows what's said. And there is a corresponding gift that can interpret what was said. Notice it's interpret, not translate. It's not a word-for-word thing. It's the idea, the main thing. When you hear somebody operate in the gifts of the Spirit, usually it's their vocabulary. They don't use words they don't know. Their education level, all of that kind of stuff is kind of reflected in how they speak by the Spirit. Now, sometimes people say things that is beyond training, education, something they wouldn't know. That's probably another gift along with other tongues, which, by the way, they work together many times. But interpretation of tongues. So the individual who brings interpretation of tongues, it won't be a word-for-word thing. It will be giving the idea, giving what is meant in that. And so when that comes, oh, now we know what that was about, something that God wanted said or God wanted to say to us, interpretation of tongues. And then it says, and prophecy. To prophesy is to relay words or a message from the Spirit of God in our known language. So this would come by English, to prophesy. And all three of these, they are by the inspiration of God. It's something more than the person has within them. And how do you know? How can you tell? Well, there's just something about it when it's genuine, when it's real, when it's God, that I'm not sure how you want to say this. it tastes right, it smells right, it feels right, contains information that fits the scriptures, that fits the character of God. You can tell. And so any utterance speaking from the Spirit of God is going to come in one of three ways: tongues, interpretation of tongues, or prophecy in a known language. And later, I'm not sure we'll get that, but Paul says in the church, when the whole church is gathered, that tongues won't benefit the people without interpretation of tongues. And says that tongues plus interpretation equals prophecy. So to prophesy is better because the people will receive a message. But if you have tongues and interpretation, they also receive a message. So this is a way that heaven can speak in a gathering of people: tongues and interpretation or prophecy. And by the way, why don't we see more of this in our church services? We should see some. We wouldn't necessarily see it all the time. But these things happen by cooperation, by a little bit of boldness to perhaps embarrass oneself. They happen where the people are hungry and desiring and are willing to receive the supernatural speaking of God through someone. When it is more frequently exercised, it usually is indication of a congregation that is not rejecting, a congregation that is hungry for the Spirit of God, is open to the Spirit of God. Someone in the house is bold enough to say what they think maybe they have on the inside. And, you know, if it's ever happened to you, especially as you're learning, you shake and you quake and you're nervous and your palms get sweaty and all of that, and then you still don't do it, right? We've been through those experiences, those of us who God's moved on us that way. But if you'll be a little bold and a little by faith, you can learn how to cooperate with the Spirit of God. You can learn to recognize the Spirit of God. And I noticed way back in the 80s, as Pastor Sandy and I became aware of these things in the Scriptures, started hanging out with some Spirit-filled believers, that it stirred in us. And at first, it was like I said, you'd sweat, you'd get dry mouth, you know, you were just like nervous and shake and all that, you know. And finally, I just got to say this because I can't take it no more, you know. You'd feel physically, you know, that something is happening there, and you might speak that out. As you grow in it and gain experience and mature, all of that goes away. And you learn to simply recognize something on the inside, a little tweaking, a little, I think that may be the Spirit of God prompting me. And so, you know, it'll be undeniable at first, but then we learn it over time. And we learn to cooperate. We learn to desire. We learn to receive. If you go Spirit-filled believer into, let's say, a church setting where all of that would be totally rejected, you may notice, I have, it'll fire up on the inside of you, but there's no prompting to actually say it. Amen. Why? Because a lot of people reject these things. And that's why I'm taking time to show from the Scriptures. Don't reject. Don't fall for anything that comes along, but don't reject either. So tongues, interpretation of tongues, and prophecy. Those are the three that say something. Second category, those that do something. Faith, special faith, as we've talked about already. Like the parting of the waters when the children of Israel went across. Like Jesus walking on the water. That would be the operation of the gift of special faith. That's why you can't just go out here to the Kankakee River and just walk across. You have no operation of the gift of special faith for that. You better get a boat or swim. Amen. Well, if I need to, I'll just go over there and I'll just walk across the water. Not without the Spirit's gifting coming upon you. You won't. Amen. So there are times, I've seen quite a few, you know, where people assume to operate by a gift. And that is not safe. You can't do that without God actually coming upon you. So let's say, and I've heard of this testimony of Christian missionaries in some place where they haven't heard the gospel and so on, maybe primitive cultures, and they needed to cross a river at flood stage. And having done everything they could do to find a boat or a way across, they had nothing but felt compelled, but we've got to. And a gift of faith, working of miracles came upon them, and they walked across. But without that special circumstance, the piranhas and crocodiles are going to get you. Amen. Amen. So faith, gifts of healings, the working of miracles, those are the three gifts that do something. You will see these three especially connected to the minister who's an evangelist. Dr. Jack. Especially when he goes overseas. Why not so much in the United States? There's a lot of rejection of these things here in the States. And remember where Jesus said, don't cast your pearls before swine? If that's his counsel to us, that's how he does too. He doesn't cast his pearls in front of people who won't appreciate and reject. Amen. Remember Jesus in his own hometown says he could not heal folks there? Just a few minor things. He there could do no mighty works. Why? The unbelief and rejection of the people gathered will stop all of this from happening. But when that gift comes upon someone, even when there's an unbelieving crowd, the evangelist speaks before unbelieving crowds. And that's why this gift will come upon him for things. I talked with Dr. Jack this week in Dominican. I do not remember the numbers of how many thousands saved and healings and some notable miracles and so on in the Dominican Republic. Amen. Almost makes you want to go just to see some of that stuff. But then you come home wondering, well, why not here? Why not here? Why not here? But anyway, working of miracles, special faith, and gifts of healings. And notice it's plural. Gifts of healings. And you will note, if you're around some of these things, that there seems to be different individuals that have anointings come upon them for healings in this area, a different one healings in this area, a different one will have healings in another area. Amen. I just noticed through the years, especially if I prayed and laid hands on someone that was bleeding, it seemed to be very effective for me. Other things, not as much. And if you'll check with various ministers, you know, this one says they're having great success with cancers. Another one, it's something else. Another one, it's something else. Those are different gifts of healings. When Jesus ministered on the earth, he ministered all of the gifts without limitation. In the church, we have all the gifts without limitation, just not in any one person. Not in any one church, spread across the whole body. So no one will have all of these things. You know, from time to time, somebody, well, Pastor Dan, you know, how come you aren't out there getting a whole bunch of people saved? How come we're not getting a whole bunch saved? I'm pastor, teacher, not evangelist. I do some evangelism, led people to the Lord, sure. But I don't have that anointing and gifting, say, like a Dr. Jack does, where that's his thing, man. That really gets him fired up, too. But those are the three that do something. And the third category, discerning of spirits, word of wisdom, and word of knowledge. These three gifts reveal something. This would be that the Spirit can reveal something that the individual doesn't know. And the first one is discerning of spirits. This is not discernment. This is not someone who makes good judgments. This is not, you know, I'm kind of a discerning person, you know. No. Discerning of spirits. Not generally, but of spirits. And of course, there are angelic spirits. There are demonic spirits. I got it wrapped up in conversation this week with a carpenter. We were talking about UFOs and different things. And of course, a UFO is an unidentified flying object. It doesn't mean that it is a space creature. It means we don't know. And even my son Tim, airline pilot, he says, I've seen things in the air that I cannot explain. I don't know what that was. And sometimes you ask the other pilot, are you seeing that? Yeah, I was, but I wasn't going to say anything, you know, that sort of stuff. They're unidentified. But I believe from time to time, the spirits are visible. Somehow we can see these things, you know. Somehow they have ability to manifest themselves. So there is a whole bunch out there we don't know a lot about. Discerning of spirits. Understand it this way. It's not just, judging by what's going on, I think there's an evil spirit here. No, that's not it. It is the Spirit of God opening one's eyes and they see it. They see it. Here and there, I have seen angels. Just here and there, I have seen evil spirits. Way back before we had these screens built here and these walls and so on, we had a TV on a stand next to speakers over there. If you were with us a long time, you might remember that. And we're in a service, and the Spirit of God's flowing good. And I looked over there, and I saw this little thing about this tall peeking out from behind the television stand. And when I looked at it and saw it, he went like this. Amen. Well, what did I do about it? I rebuked that spirit and cast it out of here. I don't know what it was doing here. I don't care. I don't want whatever it had, you know. I got rid of it. So it was just one of those things. Well, why? Why? Why would you see it? Because God wants you to deal with it. Take care of it. Many will remember that time we had a fellow standing right here. Then Sandy was ministering. We had a line going across here. And she, from back here, gave a war whoop and wound up her arm and went like that at the guy. And I thought did she punch him? Did she hit him? Did she
get?
You didn't sock him in the face. You missed him in the face. She said there was a demon spirit sitting on his shoulder. And she said, I just knocked him off, cast him out. That's discerning of spirits. You'll see it. God will show you. It's not just, I hear this all the time from different people, you know, I bet you there's an evil spirit there, and by symptoms or conditions or something like that. Well, there may be, but that is not what we're talking about here. Discerning of spirits is the Spirit of God opening for one to hear, see, smell, whatever you want to call it, you know, a demonic spirit. And as soon as you get over into demons, you got people getting crazy over this way, and you got people getting crazy over this way. Right? The truth of the Scripture will be right down the middle of the road on some of this stuff. To borrow from Brother Hagin, I love that he would say this all the time, for every mile of road, there's 2 miles of ditch. Amen. And you'll watch church movements, sometimes congregations, they get in the ditch over here on something, and then somebody, they realize it's error and need to correct that, and they come up back on the road and go all the way across the road over into the other ditch. Right? If you drive these country roads and you have a soft stone shoulder, you know that you don't want to just jerk that wheel back up on the road because, you know, you might put that vehicle into this and go across the other side and all that kind of thing. So ride that stone a little bit and just ease back on. So there's 2 miles of ditch, but there's also a mile of road here that we should know about. discerning of spirits is to help us. It's to profit us. And when one might see a spirit, that's so that they can cast out and oppose that spirit and deal with that spirit. Or an angel. There have been times, you know, here and there, seen angels, especially in this room. And once a remarkable experience in Pastor Webb's church some years ago. But that's what discerning of spirits is. They're revealing, God is revealing the presence of a spiritual being of some kind. Next it says word of wisdom, or it is word of wisdom. The three that reveal something, discerning of spirits, word of wisdom, word of knowledge. Now, first of all, notice it's word of wisdom, word of knowledge. A word is only a part of a sentence, only a part of a paragraph. In other words, the Spirit of God will reveal wisdom, but only a part. God will reveal knowledge, but only a part. Well, what's the difference between the two? Well, to state it simply, without going into two or three weeks just on this, word of wisdom is God revealing something in the future. Word of knowledge is revealing something that's presently happening or has happened. And it's just a word. It's just a part. It's just a key, unlock a door. It's just a help. Sometimes, you know, say a ministry line, a minister may lay hands on the sick and he may, by prophecy, start to say some things, and it may reveal a key or something that that person's not told anybody, and that would be a word of knowledge. And by that coming supernaturally through a minister or someone, they would go, well, only God knows that. God must have shown that. And then you would know, that's my answer. That's God speaking to me. So word of wisdom, word of knowledge. Again, here's another area where people want to prophesy on one another. They want it to be spectacular. They want it to be big. And sometimes the Spirit of God will reveal some things. And some folk can't help themselves. And they'll go from that one thing God revealed to a whole bunch more. Or they'll just, you know, out of their own spirit prophesy. You got to be very careful with such things. Amen. There was one particular in our church many years ago that it seemed like at the drop of the hat always had somebody off to the side prophesying over them, and I started calling that prophelying. And what I found out again and again and again was she was prophesying money out of your purse into hers. So, you know, we got to watch out for all of that. I would say it's a little better to miss in terms of you didn't say something than to go the other way and say more that wasn't the Spirit of God. Sometimes what God gives is brief and little, and people hunger for more. And so more is said. And if you pay attention closely, you can kind of hear, that's the Spirit of God, that's the Spirit of God. Whoops, we went beyond the Spirit of God. Oh, that's them talking now. And people try to be complimentary and all that kind of thing. A lot of prophecy is to the ego. And when someone starts prophesying to my ego or speaking to my ego, that just turns me off. And I just want to leave and get out of there. And throw away those words said just as quick as I possibly can. Amen. Amen. So there are three that reveal something. Discerning of spirits, word of wisdom, word of knowledge. 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 11. 1 Corinthians 12, 11. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as he wills. Now, I know we've looked at this scripture previously, but notice this. It is the Spirit of God who chooses when, where, and who any of these things will operate in. It's the Spirit of God. If God would use me for, let's say, a word of knowledge, and he has in times past, that's not something that I can just bring up, that I could just operate. And if someone were to come up after service, Pastor, would you lay hands on me and pray? Well, sure, I can do that in a general sense for what you need, generally by the Scripture, generally with a little bit of faith. But if one is hoping for a word from God, that's not in my control. And I don't know if it's happened to you. It's happened many times to me. Pastor, you got a word for me? People ask for it. And the honest answer is, well, no, I don't. God hadn't said nothing to me about you. I've had individuals be in the hospital. And then after 2 weeks, you know, they miss a Sunday. 2 weeks, they come to church and, Pastor, I was in the hospital. You were? Oh, my goodness. Well, did you call us? Did you call me? Did you tell anybody? Well, no. I thought you would know. They literally expected me to know by the Spirit of God that they were sick and in a hospital. And it's not just once that has happened. That's happened quite a number of times. You know, as if God's telling me everything. No. Make a call to the church office, to Lori, a text or something. Call me. Call somebody. You know, because I can't come and pray for you in the hospital or anything like that if I don't know you're there. Amen. So it is not something that is always on. It is not something that you operate when you decide to. It's not something that you can operate when someone asks you to. Now, if I were to, lay hands on somebody and start praying, that might be an occasion where God would start revealing something. That could happen then, and that does from time to time, just from starting to pray for somebody generally. And many times this happens, all of these happens, when there's a touch. There's something about laying on of hands. There's a connection of some kind. It's a spiritual thing. And if y'all recall when Brother Ricky Edwards would be here ministering, did you notice how he might walk in a congregation and go and then just touch somebody? He says, when I touch them, I see what God wants me to minister to them. And there's some things that I know that I may say, maybe don't say. I'll pray and get that handled without anybody knowing. But when they touch, sometimes that's the case until you go to a place, till you touch a person or something like that. Nothing happens until you're there, and then the Spirit of God will move like that. So it operates as the Spirit of God chooses, when he chooses, whom he chooses. Again, but we can be cooperative. We can be open. We can be attentive to him. We can develop an ability to flow with him. We can learn. Amen. So it takes those things. Well, if God wants to use me, he'll just take me over like a robot. No, if you want to have an attitude about things, he won't. Everything about the Holy Spirit is gentle. He can be very forceful, but he's not obnoxious. He comes gentle and brings power with him. So all of these gifts operate by the Spirit. Maybe I'll say this while we're here. People talk about laughing in the Spirit, dancing in the Spirit, you know, shouting in the Spirit. What do they mean? What are we talking about? Just like tongues. Tongues are words given by inspiration of the Spirit that you wouldn't even know. So dancing in the Spirit is not someone just hopping the way they know how to hop. Although that puts you in a place ready and cooperative and willing. It's been a while, but dancing in the Spirit for me, I can't dance a lick. It's going to be something like you've never seen before. It's going to look wild and crazy. And like in speaking a message in other tongues, you trust God for each word and it comes. Dancing in the Spirit is you trust God for the move and it comes. You don't even think about it. It just happens. Laughing in the Spirit. That's laughing under inspiration. Well, what's funny? I don't know. But I'm just inspired to laugh and laugh. And that one particularly, these things are contagious. When you see one, another person opens their heart and the Spirit of God can move on them and another and another. There's always a few stuck in the muds. And they would have to have the Holy Spirit of God come and hit them over the head with a hammer, you know. But if you'll be a little bit cooperative and someone next to you starts laughing in the Spirit, it gets to where it's almost hard not to. That we like to say it gets off on you. That's why you'll even see John and Susan, sometimes they got to walk away from somebody because it's getting on them. I don't know if you should walk away or maybe you should just move up close. Amen.
But
yes, they are still alive, Sandy. They're just not here this week. All of these things, where there's hunger and desire and openness, God moves. If we haven't seen it in a while, we should be taking a little bit of personal inventory. Amen? On some of these things. And I've learned, if you want more of something in your service, teach on it. So we're teaching on these things so we can again move in that way. Praise the Lord. Sandy was one to laugh in the Spirit readily and a lot. I'm not saying that's what she's doing now, but anyway. These gifts come as the Spirit wills by the inspiration of the Spirit. No man or woman is in command of any operation of any of these gifts. Let's go to the 14th chapter of 1 Corinthians. Now, we won't go through much of this, but the 14th chapter is full of instructions on how these things should operate in a church. We just came from the 12th chapter, right? Now I'm taking you to the 14th chapter. What's between 12 and 14? 13. That whole chapter. What do we call that chapter? The love chapter. Why? Paul, when he's talking about the operation of gifts of the Spirit in the church, says, we got these things going on, but let me tell you, love comes first. He's got to address, this was the church at Corinth, he had to address them on how this stuff was being done. Remember, for every mile of road, 2 miles a ditch. And so they were off in a ditch on a couple of things. So he teaches on the 13th chapter about love. And now abides faith, hope, and love. These three, the greatest of these in loves. And then I think the first verse, if I remember right, yet I show you a more excellent way or something. Where is that? But anyway, then he goes back to instructing in the 14th chapter how these things should operate. There's too much for us to go through right here, right now. But in the 26th verse of 1 Corinthians 14, after he talks about tongues, he talks about interpretation, talks about prophesying in the church. Remember, he had said it's to profit all, not just some, not just an individual. He says, how is it then, brethren, whenever you come together, so that means a church service, whenever you come together, each of you has a psalm. A psalm is a song. Has a teaching, has a tongue, has a revelation, has an interpretation. Okay, let's stop there for a second. They come to church, and everybody has something on their heart. Everybody, because they've been fellowshipping with God, already has a tongue, interpretation, a teaching that God gave them, a revelation. And they come to church and they're excited with what they've been given during the week and it all spills out in the church all at once. It was chaotic. So you would think the way some people talk about the 14th chapter of 1 Corinthians that Paul is shutting all of that down. Oh no. Let's read then what it says next in this verse, last in this verse. Let all things be done. In other words, the revelation, the tongues, the interpretation, the teaching, the psalm. A psalm is a new song given by inspiration. It's prophecy being sung. He says, let all things be done for edification. Edification means to build up, to charge up. That would be back to what we saw earlier where it says, for the profit of all. When the church is gathered, the primary purpose is to profit everybody, is to charge up and to build everybody. It is not time for me. I have a tongue. Everybody shut up and listen. I have a tongue. Or another one has a psalm. Or another one has a revelation. Or God showed me something this week and I've got a teaching. And pastor, you sit down. I got a teaching. It was kind of, you know, and such an exuberance for these things that everybody was stumbling over everybody else, and that's why he had to talk about love. That they weren't walking in love towards one another. So you don't have Paul here when everybody comes and they have all of this. He doesn't say shut it down. He doesn't say prevent it. He doesn't say toss it aside. He doesn't say don't let it happen. He says, let it be done for building up and charging up. These things are supposed to be happening to build people. But there needs to be some ground rules. There needs to be a little discipline. There needs to be leadership. And there needs to be, you know, a little bit of, well, discipline, as I've said. So they came to church spiritually tuned up and ready. Oh, that all of us would come to church already fired up instead of hoping, I hope he's got a good one because I'm really dragging and I could use a good message. And now that one just didn't do the trick for me, you know, or them singers. If only they would have done this song or that song or whatever it is. What I love about Emily when she leads is she comes fired up. And she does her best to fire up others. She comes with something. Amen. Don't make it hard for her. Flow with her, right? So we should have these things, and it should charge up, and it should build up. And oh, that we would come already fired up. We'd have something more than what we have if we drag ourselves in really needy, and all of that. Now, if you're needy, that's no problem. God will meet your need. That's not the issue. But you could be fired up and needy at the same time. And God will answer that. Amen. So again, Paul says, let these things be done. Do not shut them down. Even if someone gets a little carried away. You know, like I said, people tend to swing the pendulum. You even see it in politics. We go way this way, oops, and then go all way this way, oops. Maybe something a little more middle of the road would be better. And I love how Brother Hagin used to say it. He says, I'd rather have a little wildfire than no fire. Than the order of a cemetery. You know, let all things be decently and in order, Paul's going to say here. Well, some church, you know, I don't like it. They have the order of a cemetery. Mm-hmm. Everything's lined up perfectly, right? But there's no life there. So a little wildfire, you know. And, of course, Brother Hagin would say, there's always enough wet blankets around to tamp down the wildfire. Right? So if somebody is just too much for you, runs around the room hollering. And somebody could do it. It wouldn't be the Spirit of God. And that'll just sound like fingernails on a chalkboard, you know. Just, but no problem. We all knew, nope, that wasn't right. Move on. Or if somebody just is just too much for you, maybe you're not going through what they got the victory when they went through, you know. And Jesus talked about to whom much is forgiven, the same loves much. Amen. But even if there's a little wildfire, that's okay. We won't worry about that. We'll get it right. I'd rather have a little wildfire than no fire. Praise the Lord. Verse 27, we'll touch a little bit of the ground rules that Paul laid out. If anyone speaks in a tongue, let there be two, or at the most three, each in turn, and let one interpret. Now keep in mind, this is talking about a church meeting where the people are to all be built up, charged up, and for the profit of all. So if there's a message in tongues, what you'll find from time to time is several people will receive something from God. And if we had every one of them say it, we might hear the same thing more or less three or four times. Well, that's redundant. It says, each in turn, let one interpret. But if there is no interpreter, let him keep silent in the church. Well, when God moves with interpretation of tongues on somebody, that could be a different person. And how would you know if there's an interpreter? Many Bible scholars say the way to understand this is every meeting there's going to be someone in leadership. They are the interpreter. And it's not only an interpretation of tongues, it's an interpretation of the whole flow, the whole message of what's happening here, the whole flow of God. You can think of it that way. If there's no interpreter, let him keep silent in church. And let him speak to himself and to God. Not everything that someone receives needs to be said in a service. Let two or three prophets speak, and let the others judge. Now, the prophets were ministry gifts. They were used of God often to prophesy. Prophecy is not infallible because it comes through people. And so when one might prophesy and another, then the others are to, it says to judge. There should be a certain amount of judgment. Something was said. How do you judge that? You look for evidence of God in it. The anointing lines up with Scripture. It wasn't out of order. Different things like that. Anyone who stands up to prophesy, I know this really scares people off, but need to be bold sometimes anyway. If you're going to prophesy, be ready to have that scrutinized. Amen. And usually if you're ready to have it scrutinized, you won't say fantastic things that are not the Spirit of God anyway. Verse 30, but if anything is revealed to another who sits by, let the first keep silent. In other words, there's an orderliness to this. And then verse 31, for you can all prophesy one by one. Did you catch that? Who can prophesy? All. So every person in the room here, God could move on you to prophesy. It's not the purview of one person. Could be anybody. But look what it says next. That all may learn and all may be encouraged. You can learn to prophesy. You can learn to recognize the Spirit of God coming with inspiration to speak to you. And you can learn how to hear that and say that. And if you can learn, you can mature in it. You can grow in it. You can get more and more accurate and refined and purer and cleaner in the communication that it's all God and you don't add yourself to it. People are like a piece of pipe. Have you noticed you go to different restaurants in town? And sometimes the water tastes different. It comes from the same place, out of the same pipes, until you get to that restaurant. And the water gets flavored by the pipes. And I got a couple of restaurants that I won't drink their iced tea because it tastes bad because of their water. So no problem. We'll have a Pepsi. That covers it up enough. But what am I saying? I'm saying that when people are involved, what's given by the Spirit of God is pure and clean, but it comes through a person, a pipeline, and it can get flavored. And to learn and to mature in these things is to get more and more free of flavoring what comes out so that it's pure water. And that's what we're talking about when we say learn to prophesy. You could be, you know, kind of rough at first and learn and grow and become a vessel or a pipe where God can move pure and clean. All of these things, you learn and you grow and you mature. They're pure from God, but they're not always pure coming through a pipe, through a person. Verse 32, and the spirits of the prophets are subject to the prophets. What does that mean? That means if God would give a prophet a word, that prophet cannot say, well, I can't help it. The Spirit of God was moving on me. I had to jump up and say it. No. Your spirit on the inside is subject to you. You can show the discipline necessary, the finesse, the timing, the tact necessary to fit something in. Something may be private for one individual, not for the whole church. This means that there's some good self-discipline involved in some of these things as well. Even though God has given me things, revelation would be word of knowledge, that were not to tell anybody. You know, that's for me to understand what's going on or to tell one person about that and privately perhaps and so on. So there's some self-discipline is involved here. Verse 33, for God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all the churches of the saints. So when something brings confusion, that pure water got flavored by the pipe. Amen. And when the flavor of the water coming out of the pipe is foul and no good, that's when churches take it and throw it away. Instead of understanding, well, that individual needs to grow, needs to learn, or was mistaken, and, you know, don't throw out the baby with the bathwater kind of a thing. And then one more verse, and we're done. 1 Corinthians 14:39. Therefore, brethren. Now, he talks about more. And you might notice I skipped over where Paul talked about women. Not our subject today. But keep in mind, I'll just say this for now. You cannot escape the culture of the community that you operate in. Americans are different from other countries. And the people in Paul's time and place in Corinth, these were not Jewish people. They were Gentile people. They had customs and so on different from ours. Keep in mind that some of the things reflect customs. And it would be perhaps akin to, and you know, whatever views they had concerning women, wives, and so on, might not be the same views that we would hold today. But for them to do outside of their customs, respecting their customs, would be interpreted as a rebellion. And rebellion's never good. Example for me is pretty easy to come up with in terms of the church I grew up in. For a woman to wear pants was an absolute scandal. It just wasn't done. And so the counsel would be, don't wear pants. Well, I'm going to wear pants if I want to. Well, that then exhibits pride and rebellion. Same church now, I'm sure the women are wearing pants. That changed over time. Things we used to find offensive, we don't anymore culturally. And that's not all good. But, so there is understanding Scripture in the light of the culture of the community where the people are. And some of that concerning women had to do with that when Paul wrote it. For instance, when he says, let a wife ask her husband at home, why'd they do that? Because the women sat on this side and the men sat on that side. And for her to talk across the room during church would be a little bit disruptive. Sandy. So keep in mind, there were some things there that, Paul wasn't a male chauvinist and all whatever that they have. But anyway, we're down to verse 39. Therefore, when he sums up these things, therefore, brethren, desire earnestly to prophesy. Oh, I don't want to do that. No, you should want to. And practice at home. You may be praying, Lord, what about so-and-so? And, what about this? And I'm asking for some help here. And you may feel something that comes up addressing that. Go ahead and say those words, whatever they are. It's just you. You're all by yourself. Nobody will know. And just speak them. And see if there isn't a little bit of authority in that. There isn't a little bit of power that comes from that. That there isn't maybe even a little bit of insight and revelation. I prophesy to myself a fair amount, quite a bit. Quite a bit. Because it just seems like I'll start praying and some words come up and I say them. And many times it brings me God's answer on a thing. So we should desire to prophesy. And it says next, and do not forbid to speak with tongues. To listen to a lot of Christians today, and you can see it on the internet, other churches, whatever, you would think that Paul wrote, forbid speaking with other tongues. In church, forbid speaking with other tongues. Oh no, not at all. Quite the opposite. He said, don't forbid it. We want it in church. We want these things in order and in love and in respect, and leadership keep the service moving in a direction that God would have it to go. It's not a free-for-all, but don't forbid these things. Amen? So, and it's been a while, but if we had tongues and interpretation, we should. And if somebody gets it wrong, that's not a problem. It won't, destroy everything. If somebody stands up to prophesy and it's not quite right, I probably would say nothing about it. Because usually when somebody's prophesying and it's not the Spirit of God, everybody can tell. Everybody can tell. You don't need anybody to tell you, that was really, really wrong. And I suppose if somebody got really, really off base, maybe I would say something. But most of the time, I don't need to. Everybody knows, well, just take that and throw that in the can. So that wasn't right. But and if it sounds a little scary, I suppose. Nobody likes to embarrass themselves. But Paul's teaching us we should have this, that it's part of the ministry of the Spirit. It's for our profit. It will help. It will help us. Amen? Amen. Father, we bless you and thank you for your word. And I do say, here with this congregation, we desire the gifts of the Spirit. We desire your help. We desire the manifestation of the Spirit. All of these things should be operating in us from time to time. Father, help us to grow in terms of an openness, a hunger and a desire, and a willingness to move by your Spirit, to move with you. Father, we thank you for that. We thank you in Jesus' name. Now, Father, we thank you for the offering, and we speak, saying, My God shall supply all of our need according to your riches in glory in Christ Jesus. Here in this house, Renew Church, here in each represented house, Father, we thank you. We know that we give and it's given to us, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over. We know that we bring the whole tithe into the storehouse and the devourer is rebuked and the windows of heaven are open and a blessing is poured out. We thank you for these things, Father. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.